Having an ADHD brain is a mixed bag. Sometimes it's good news and sometimes, well, it's not. Even ADHD professionals have trouble with their ADHD. They try harder and harder and harder to overcome the chaos that's ADHD. And finally, they overcome the barriers of ADHD and they become what we call at ADDA ADHD heroes. And that's what TED Talks are all about this year. Your favorite ADHD professionals sharing their ADHD stories. So join us here at ADDA, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, every single day of October, because it's ADHD Awareness Month. Here's the next inspiring story.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to TED Talks with ADDA. My name is Seth Perler with SethPerler.com and ExecutiveFunctionSummit.com. I am an executive function coach, ADHD coach, TUI coach. I'm a speaker. I wear a lot of hats, and that is part of my ADD, and it's a gift of my ADD. And it can be a curse, too, when I wear too many hats and take on too many things. I'm going to share with you today a little bit about my hero's journey with ADHD. When I was a kid, I was a very creative, free-spirited, happy kid. I was just absolutely fascinated with the world, and I had this long platinum blonde hair. I'd be bouncing around the backyard or in the woods, in the forest, and just super engaged with nature, with human beings, with people. I just was a sponge for learning. I just was so, and my attention deficit disorder, right, went in so many places, and I was just really engaged in a lot of things. But what happened for me was that starting in first grade, literally, on my report cards, part of the comments started saying, daydreams too much, daydreamer, daydreams. And that is the theme of this quick talk that I'm going to do for you, is daydreams too much. So my progress reports, starting really young, started saying daydreams, does not pay attention, needs to focus, needs to work harder, needs to try more. All of these, you know, is not motivated, procrastinates, has so much potential. If Seth would just do this, if Seth would just do that, everything would be okay. But man, it was really hard for me to focus in these classes in school. And these things called daydreams were perceived in the system as a weakness, as a challenge, as something quote unquote bad. So in my hero's journey, my quest is to live a good life that I want to live, despite the challenges, to feel like I matter, to feel connected to people, to feel a part of, to be engaged in life, and just to have what I would consider to be a good life. You know, great relationships, great career, financial security, home, like all of these things that I think are a great life. And we all have different ideas of what those components are, but those are some of them for me. But I have these challenges here. You know, I have these executive function ADHD challenges, and I'm going to discuss a couple of these challenges. One of my challenges my whole life has been my mindset, and my mindset tends to go towards resistance, procrastinating, not trying, that I have a lot of excuses for not doing something. And these mindsets that just hold me back, that I used to just listen to. I used to just hear the mindset, the internal dialogue, and I would just listen to the resistance. Yep, I don't feel like doing it. This is stupid. Why do I have to do this? This is dumb. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it some other time. It can wait. Whatever the resistance mindset was, it was so loud that I couldn't hear sort of the other quiet voice. And another challenge that I faced was that I would lie to myself. I literally could not even trust myself. Despite my best intentions to do things for people or to follow through or to finish things or to turn things in or whatever, I could not trust myself to do what needed to be done. So that was a big challenge that I had. And that challenge really caused me to have what's called my inner critic to be really cruel to me. And my inner critic had a lot of stories, but my two big inner critic stories were that I'm lazy and that I'm a failure. And I'd love to say, I'm just lazy, I'm just a failure, because it was one of my favorite ways of being resistant and not doing something is I could just say, no, I'm just lazy, I'm just a failure, just can't do it. So, and part of my inner critic also said, God, I always mess up. I mess everything up. So I really felt like I was lying to myself. I couldn't trust myself and I always mess everything up. And this inner critic is just like super hateful towards me, like just really bad, negative internal talk. And another challenge that I had is that the size of the mountain that I had to climb up in order to do basic things that other people seem to be able to do, like do my schoolwork or get a driver's license or do paperwork or fill out a job application. And then by the time I was older and I wanted to really change my life, the size of the mountain that I had to climb up to change my life was just massive. How am I going to do this? And I got to a really dark place, the dark night of the soul. I got to a very dark place in my life. I wanted to give up. I wanted to give up on life, give up on myself, give up on my goals, give up on my dreams. I just felt like I wasn't going anywhere and like I couldn't go anywhere. Like this was just my fate. I'm on a downward spiral. That's just how life is. There's nothing I can do to change it. So these were some of the challenges that I had. My dark night of the soul really was this hopelessness, this I give up, I can't do anything right, I'm never going to be able to. And the way that I'm describing this to you in this recording right now is very brief, but I just want to tell you that if you're struggling, like I was really, really, really in a dark place for a long time. And things got really bad and I finally hit some walls and just really decided, you know what? I don't want to give up. I do think that maybe I can figure life out. Maybe I can do these things, you know? I don't know where to start, but so I, you know, in terms of my hero's journey, you know, I had this quest to have a good life, but I was stuck. I couldn't figure out how to do it. But things started turning around. And I want to tell you how things started turning around. There are many keys. But one of the biggest keys, probably the most important key to me being able to triumph over my adversity, my ADD-versity, to turn things around, to start going on an upward spiral instead of a downward spiral, to get things going in the other direction, the number one thing that I learned how to do was ask for help. And once I learned how to ask for help, I realized that it wasn't as hard as I used to think it was, and that there are a lot of people that are willing to help me. And I mean, once I started doing it, I asked people for help with everything shamelessly. And I started turning my life around. And I still struggle. I still am forgetful. I still have imposter syndrome. Oh, if people only knew how much I struggled. You know, people will often say to me, because of my business, and I'm very successful in what I do nowadays, and I have a lot of followers and I get a lot of email and a lot of people talking to me and parents and teachers and they'll say to me, oh my gosh, you're so organized. And I'm just like, you have no idea. It takes me 10 times as much work to appear organized than it does like a naturally organized person. Like I still struggle with stuff, but I'm cool with it today. Like I'm okay with myself today. I have compensatory strategies where I compensate, and it's not like I have much better executive function, but I have implemented strategies with people's help because I asked for help. I've learned how to be visual, how to create a great space for me to work, how to be able to focus better, how to remember things, how to, you know, and I'm a very, 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 very fortunate person because I am the wounded healer, or I am the person who teaches what I most need to learn. Like my whole life is dedicated to service, and I happen to like serving kids who struggle with executive function and the things that I struggle with, and I happen to be very good at it. So I turn my weaknesses into a career that is like my life's passion. I'm very lucky that I get to do what I love, and I get to use my ADHD mind, the good parts of it, because there are still deficits that get in the way, but the good parts about it, I get to create an incredible business, an incredible life a business where I can change every semester, every week. I can do all kinds of different things that my ADD mind comes up with. And I've done so many different interesting things in my business. And you can look it up at thesethperler.com and executivefunction.com and see all my YouTube videos and all this stuff. But I'm going to sort of tie this into something. I built a life of passion, a life where I live where I want to live, generally how I want to live, with who I want to live, with great people in my life. Like, I am a pretty happy person. Not perfect. You know, I usually have about 2 days a week where I can't sleep, and those days are a wash. I get depressed every once in a while, but not that much. I used to get anxious all the time. I have, like, basically almost no anxiety in my life anymore, blah, blah, blah. I've implemented so many strategies and learned so many things. But in order to build a life of passion that I'm really happy with and engaged in, the big, giant irony of that is this. Those report cards that said daydreams too much, that daydreaming is one of my biggest gifts of my whole life. That daydreaming empowers me to what daydreaming is. Daydreaming is, there's something called nonverbal working memory. It's just with executive function. It's just basically how our brain helps us to use imagery or imagine or envision or conceptualize things. I am such a great daydreamer that I am able to come up with a lot of really interesting ideas. So many I can't even implement even a fraction of them, but I daydream, and that daydreaming has empowered me to envision the things that I could create to create a business and life and work that I'm passionate about. I'm able to visualize ways to serve human beings, to help people, to build a life, to be creative, to think outside the box, to get scrappy and not listen to, like, traditional values in business or education or things like that. Like, to really get scrappy and be like, what does Seth Perler believe? What does Seth Perler think? What does Seth Perler want to create in this lifetime? What impact do I want to have during this blip of a lifetime? We have such a short period of time. You know, we have maybe 80, 90, 100 years here on Earth. Boom. And it's over. What do I want to do? And my daydreaming, that thing that I thought was bad, that I got in trouble for, that I got dinged for, that it said on my report cards, daydreams, needs to pay attention. I was paying attention, and I was paying attention to my daydream, to my mind, to my visualization, to my creativity. That's where my attention was going. And that has empowered me. And what I'm able to do now also, because of my ADD, I'm able to fail very well. Because part of my ADD is very high risk tolerance, I'm willing to take risks and try things in my business and in my life to grow and to have experiences. Like, I'm not held back. I'm able to fail well and to learn from my failures. Now, I'm going to also mention that one of the other keys is baby steps. My secret to life and being able to build a life of passion and use my daydreams to create this life. And like I said, it's not perfect. I'm not trying to imply that at all, but I have a good life today. It's because of baby steps. Now, when I was younger, I just, baby steps didn't work for me. I wanted everything to be perfect. I didn't want baby steps. I wanted everything right here, right now, perfect. Baby steps, micro successes is what I call them. Those are the key to being able to move forward. And I'm so impatient. It's so hard for me. I'm so impulsive and I so want instant gratification, but baby steps and patience are another key for me. And another thing is my anxiety. You know, I don't really have it anymore, as I mentioned. And one of the other keys for me, the third key. So my first key that I mentioned was learning to ask for help. The second one was the baby steps. My other key that is really, you know, it sounds counterintuitive, but it's meditation. When I learned how to meditate, that was a game changer. And I love hearing people with ADHD say, oh, I can't meditate. Yeah, right. Of course you can. But that is a great resistance excuse. And I get that because I resisted it after I knew about it for about 10 years before I started. So, and then I was like, oh, I can meditate. It's just not what I thought it was. Anyhow, in conclusion, thanks for checking out my TAD Talk for ADDA. My name is Seth Perler. My website is sethperler.com, sethperler.com, or executivefunctionsummit.com. You can find me if you look up Seth Perler or Executive Function on YouTube. You can look up Seth Perler and podcasts and find out all about me. as I leave here today, my hope for you, my wish for you, my dream for you, that any of you listening and creating this little audio for you, my hope for you is that you be able to use your strengths of your ADHD to live a life of service, and that you are connected, you feel connected, and that you have peace of mind and peace in your heart.
Thanks so much for joining us for TED Talks this year. I'm sure you enjoyed these inspiring stories, and there's so much more. In fact, why don't you join us for the 2021 Virtual ADHD International Conference, November 4th through 6th. And you might want to consider joining ADDA as well. It's a great investment for a small amount of money, as little as $5 a month. And remember,
so when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you.